Heading number one, found on page 151, our opening hymn, number 666, O Little Flock, Fear Not the Foe. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we pray, O Lord, that you would preserve us in the true faith, that you would keep us firm in these days of our pilgrimage, and protect us as our dear shepherd. That you would bring us to the green pastures that you have won for us to live before you forevermore. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, ever one God, world without end. Amen. Opening hymn 666. Worship, divine service, setting number one, page 151, we stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit,
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if
we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all.
then confess our sins to God, our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We turn to the words of the Kyrie. We chant them as printed on page 152. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, you see that of ourselves we have no strength. By your mighty power, defend us from all adversities that may happen to the body and from all evil thoughts that may assault and hurt the soul. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Continue with the Lenten verse, page 157. Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, drawn from the four Gospels, part 2, Gethsemane. When they had sung a hymn, Jesus went out, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. Then Jesus said to them, "You will all be offended because of me this night, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee." Peter answered and said to him, "Even if all the others deny you, I will never deny you." Jesus said to him, "Truly I say to you that this night, before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times. But Peter said more vehemently, "If I have to die with you, I will never deny you." And all the others said likewise. They went over the brook Kidron and came to a place which was called Gethsemane. There was a garden there, and he went into it with his disciples. Judas, who betrayed him, knew that place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. And when he was at the place, he said to them, "Sit down here while I go on ahead and pray. Pray that you do not enter into temptation." He took with him Peter and James and John and began to be full of sorrow and turmoil. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Wait here and watch with me." He went on a little from them, about a stone's throw. He fell on his face and prayed that, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. He said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible to you. Take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will." An angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him, and he prayed, saying, "O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." In agony, he prayed more earnestly, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." His sweat fell to the ground like great drops of blood. When he got up from prayer, he came to his disciples and found them sleeping. He said to Peter, "Simon, are you asleep? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away the second time and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, your will be done." When he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. He left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? It is enough. The hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Look, the one who betrays me is here." Even while he was saying this, Judas, one of the 12, came with a detachment and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees. They came to that place with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, went out to them and said, "Whom do you seek?" They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am he." Judas, who betrayed him, had taken his stand with them. When Jesus said to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. Again he asked them, "Whom do you seek?" They said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus replied, "I told you that I am he. If I am the one you seek, then let these others go." This was to fulfill the word he had spoken, "Of these you gave me, I have lost none." Now he that was betraying Jesus had given them a sign, saying, "The one whom I shall kiss, that is he. Seize him, and be sure to take him away securely." He went straight up to Jesus and said, "Hail, Master!" and kissed him. Jesus said to him, "Friend, why have you come? Judas, do you betray the Son of Man with a kiss?" They came then and laid their hands on Jesus and took him. When those who were about him saw what would happen, they said to him, "Lord, shall we strike with the sword?" Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Jesus answered, "No more of that." And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword into its sheath. All they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Do you imagine that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he will send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the Scriptures be fulfilled, that it must be so? The cup which my Father has given me, shall I not drink of it?" Then Jesus said to the chief priests and the captains of the temple and the elders who had come out against him, "Have you come out as against a thief with swords and clubs to take me? When I was with you day after day teaching in the temple, you did not lay your hands on me. But this is your hour and the hour of the power of darkness. All this happened that the Scriptures and the prophets might be fulfilled." Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. There was a certain young man who followed along. He had only a linen cloth about his naked body. They laid hold on him, but he slipped out of the linen cloth and fled away naked. Then the detachment and its captain and the officers of the Jews seized Jesus and bound him and led him away to Annas first, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year. Now Caiaphas was the one who gave counsel to the Jews that it would be expedient that one man should die for the people. This is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We continue with our office hymn, number 436, Go to Dark Gethsemane.
Thank you.
of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When they had sung a hymn, Jesus went out. It was the Passover, the most principal feast that the Jews observed year after year. And rising from their Passover meal and the newly instituted Divine Supper that we still continue to enjoy to this day, the disciples with their Lord sang a hymn. What was it, I wonder? What did it sound like? What words did they use? Perhaps they sang that triumphant ballad of Exodus 15, the Song of Moses, which was, after all, sung immediately after the first Passover, the successful crossing through the Red Sea waters by the people of Israel, and standing on the opposite shore, seeing the sea collapsed, they sing a hymn of victory that their Lord had had over their enemies, over Pharaoh and his brutal band of charioteers, who fully intended to cut down every last man, woman, and child caught between the two walls of water. Scholars have suggested that perhaps they sung what is known as the Hallel, Psalms 114 to 118, which in part recount the Exodus event, but also sing high praise and thanksgiving to God. Thus, the word Hallel, sorry to do this during Lent, is where we get our word Hallelujah, to praise. Now, whatever the case may be, whatever hymn they may have sung, suffice it to say that this post-Passover melody would have been set to words that conveyed perfect knowledge of God to the disciples. For these hymns recounted the mighty deeds of God, how He is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and mercy, how He is their refuge and their strength, indeed their very salvation. But after the hymnic conclusion to this age-old feast and the eating and drinking of something new, wherein the disciples received in their mouths the very body and blood of their Lord Jesus for the forgiveness of their sins, they rise from their place, they sing a hymn, and then they go to the Garden of Gethsemane. And the disciples, together with the whole host of heaven, see, hear, and know God perfectly as He, that is Jesus, prostrates Himself full of sorrow and turmoil in the garden. Indeed, the song of redemption, the song of praise and thanksgiving, now turns into a dirge, a funeral hymn, a cry. My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Abba, Father, all things are possible to You. Take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what You will. In His mournful petitions, you hear Jesus. Indeed, you hear God Himself in the way in which He was meant to be heard. You hear Jesus, that is, you hear God Himself, the way in which He was promised to be heard. That is, you hear Jesus, indeed you hear God Himself, as the One who took on your flesh and blood and became that servant that would suffer for your sins and for the sins of the whole world. You hear Jesus giving Himself completely to and for you, withholding nothing from you. You hear of the blood-stained sweat, the pleas for deliverance, the need for angelic strengthening. Indeed, you hear of a God that has become like you in every respect except sin, so that He can make perfect intercession for you as a faithful and merciful high priest in the service of God. By way of contrast, then, you hear yourselves in the fleetingly courageous voices of the apostles, who with one accord cry out, "If we have to die with You, we will never deny You." A promise that we have all made or will soon make in our confirmation vows. And oh, how woefully fleeting these prideful cries truly are. And as we see our fellow Christians coming to the altar, promising their very lives before forsaking God. Indeed, when we see our confirmands in just a few short months come to the altar and promise their very lives before forsaking God, we all together, like Peter, cry all the louder, "Even if all the others deny you, I will never deny you." But it's only a matter of time when you hear and hear continually the rooster crow. Cock-a-doodle-doo, says the law, when you all together scatter at the striking of your shepherd. And those confirmation vows that everyone took so much pride in, those confirmation vows that everyone looked forward to seeing and hearing, fall to the ground with a loud thud, dead. As dead as we will all be if we deny our Lord. And our excuses are completely illegitimate. Not that there is a legitimate one, but I think we can all agree that the disciples had it much worse than any of us ever have. They were literally facing death. But we deny our Lord for the sake of our own pleasures, for sleeping in, for having fun, finding every excuse possible that we can to deny Him. Though our spirit is sometimes willing, though our flesh is always weak, nevertheless, Jesus walked the road that our wandering feet must go, the way of the cross. And alone He faced temptation's power and fought our ancient foe, all of which happened in the night. Night and darkness, the time of death, the time of betrayal, the time of forsaking, the time of the devil. Now, of course, the blessed reality that Jesus walked this particular road alone is precisely the point. If the apostles or any of you could stay the path without wandering, what would be the need for Jesus to come in the flesh anyway? Indeed, if the apostles or any of you could walk the path without wandering, then Jesus becomes for you nothing more than an encourager, a coach on the sideline, a morale booster, a shallow vision of God indeed. To conceive of Jesus as nothing more than an encourager is in fact to know God imperfectly. To know and to conceive of Jesus as nothing other than a cheerleader is to attribute more to yourself than you should, is to think that you have the power in and of yourself to defeat sin, death, and the devil. But Jesus, thanks be to God, does this alone. He is the only one who can and has done all that is necessary for you. You have no part to play whatsoever. Now, Judas the betrayer comes to the garden with the kiss of death. He comes to the garden with the kiss that would betray our Lord into the hands of sinful men. He comes with the false kiss of a false friendship. Indeed, the kiss of peace has now become the kiss of war. And that hymn of thanksgiving and redemption sung just after the Lord's Supper, that quickly turned into a dirge, now becomes a military chant. But not one that we would expect. The battle is not won with a show of force. And to think, like St. Peter, that we could win with a sword is to know God imperfectly. No, the battle is won as a lamb goes uncomplaining forth, the guilt of sinners bearing. And laden with the sins of earth, no one else shares in the burden. Patiently He went on, growing weak and faint to the slaughter. Without complaint He was led, His spotless life to offer. He bears your stripes. He bears your wounds. He bears the lies, the mockery, and yet replies, all of this I gladly suffer. Jesus said to the chief priests and the captains of the temple and the elders who had come out against Him, "Have you come out as against a thief with swords and clubs to take Me?" He so much as asks, "Do you not know that I lay down My life of My own accord? It does not need to be forced from Me or coerced away. I have prayed, Thy will be done to My Father, and so it shall be and has been." Jesus has been filled with the cup of God's wrath for you. When they had sung a hymn, Jesus went out. He went out to fulfill what was spoken of Him in Psalm 117. "Great is His steadfast love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever." All the disciples forsook Him and fled. We often forsake Him and flee, but the steadfast love of our God is great, and His faithfulness endures forever, that is, to the very end of the age. In this way, you know God perfectly, as He who stayed the path that you so often wander from. You know God perfectly, not as He who takes up the sword and marches into battle, but as He who lays down His life into the dust for you, who bleeds while He prays, who willingly sings His own dirge, who sings the military chant, the victory hymn of His death on the cross for your sins, who finds you sleeping, but calls you to arise, to fix your eyes on the One who has defeated your enemies, who finds you scattered and gathers you in to sing that wonderful hymn of departing peace as you receive into your mouths the very body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sin. Go in peace. In the name of Jesus, amen. We confess together the words of the Apostles' Creed, page 158, we stand.
Vicky, Zoe, Jocelyn, Chuck, Todd,
Susan, and for Beth Hope, hospitalized and awaiting surgery. Grant courage and steadfastness, especially to those who suffer for your name's sake, that they may receive and accept their afflictions in the confidence that you will acknowledge them as your own. Although we deserved none, though we have deserved your righteous wrath and punishment, yet we ask you, O most merciful Father, not to remember the sins of our youth or our many transgressions. Out of your unspeakable goodness and mercy, defend us from all harm and danger to body and soul. Preserve us from false doctrine, from war and bloodshed, from plague and pestilence, from all calamity by fire and water, from hail and tempest, from failure of harvest and from famine, from anguish of heart and despair of your mercy, and from an evil death. In every time of trouble, show yourself a very present help, the Savior of all, especially those who believe. We thank you for the gifts that you give us in this world. We rejoice with those who rejoice, especially Eric and Lacey Wallace, rejoicing in the birth of a daughter, Eleanor Glenn. Be with Eleanor, grant her safety, and bring her soon to the waters of the font, where you will claim her as your very own. These and whatsoever other things you would have us ask of you, O God, grant us for the sake of Jesus Christ, your only Son, our Lord and Savior, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Welcome once again, in the name of our crucified and risen Lord Jesus Christ, who we know perfectly as our Savior. At this time, we ask you to participate in what we call the Rite of Fellowship, at the end of each field. Sign in and pass it along. And if you are a guest or visitor, we ask you to provide your contact information so we can acknowledge your presence with us this evening in worship. At this time also, we receive our gifts and offerings. We stand for the service of the sacrament, found on page 160. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It's truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave his life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, whom you created, and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of His body and His blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread.
Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Thank you. lift your body.
And precious blood of our crucified and risen Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in the true faith till life everlasting. Go with peace, with great joy, your sins are forgiven. Amen. We stand for the Nunc Dimittis, page 165. 165. Give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. We implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.
May we see it for our closing hymn, 883.
Thank you.
just a couple of quick announcements. First of all, thank you very much for the special music that we heard during our offertory today. Thank you for the sharing your talents of music with us this day. And this evening, you can continue to share talents of music because choir practice is coming up right after service. And also, you can share your talents or vicar's talents in the Bible class going on in the fellowship hall. We're on the penitential psalms. Which psalm are we on? Okay, so we're about a third of the way through the first penitential psalm that you're studying. Okay. He's keeping up a good pace. Tomorrow, 1 o'clock, Life Light, Job. We'll be at 1 o'clock in room 109. We're continuing to study the book of Job. We'll be doing that for quite a while here. So it's still quite early to come and jump in and be a part of that. Tomorrow night, the details are in our news and notes, young adults gathering at Vickers House starting at 6:30. All the details are in the bulletin, address and all that sort of thing are there. I don't know if there are any. Tomorrow, NLCS will be here. Nebraska Lutherans for Confessional Studies will be here starting at 10 o'clock with matins. I don't think there are any other announcements. Do you have any, Vicar? None? Not a single one. Okay. The Lord be with you, grant you His peace, His grace, the Lord who wrestled with His Father in the Garden of Gethsemane and then walked the way of the cross for you. God's blessings.